that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, is, and rested the seventh day. And wherefore bless the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I want to bring to you this message that I simply entitled from our text, Remember the Sabbath. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heart and our knee before you this morning, Lord, I do pray, Father, and I'm thankful that the people that are here have remembered the Sabbath, Father, and they have come on the day that we now gather together on the first day of the week to worship the Lord. And I pray, Father, that as we gather today, that we would learn some great truths from the preaching and teaching of your word. And, oh, Father, I pray if there'll be someone here that's never really trusted in Christ as their own personal Savior, that this might be the day when they come into a saving knowledge of Christ, putting their faith and trust in what Christ has done for them on the cross of Calvary. Father, becoming born again, having the Holy Spirit of God being made alive inside of them, Father, and becoming that new creature that the Apostle Paul wrote about. Father, we pray for the junior church ministries going on at this church, Father. I ask that you bless them, be a help to them. Father, we think even of the little ones in the nursery, Father. I pray that you would watch over those little ones, Father. Give them care and protection. Thank you, Father, for those ladies who are willing to take time from their worship of the Lord to go and serve in that area as well. And Father, we never count that for granted or take it lightly, Lord. We so appreciate the ministry to the little ones. So, Father, we love you. We thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory, for it's in Jesus Christ's most precious and powerful name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to be looking at the fourth of the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments, as you probably already well aware of, are linked together with the emphasis on the worship of God. The first commandment tells us to worship God only and no one else. The second one tells us to worship God in a correct manner. And the third commandment tells us that we ought to worship God with sincerity of our heart. But now here we have come, we already have read the fourth of the commandment, and it tells us simply this, that we ought to worship God on a regular basis. And I want you to notice several things about this Sabbath day as God has spoken these words and given them to the nation of Israel. I want you to understand, first of all, this morning, if you're taking notes, notice the inauguration of the Sabbath, or when did this Sabbath begin? The inauguration of the Sabbath began when God created the heavens and the earth. And we'll not take time to turn there, but in Genesis 1 and verses 19 through verse number 25, we find that God created the animals, he created the fowls of the air, and he created the fishes in the great sea. But his crowning act of creation was found in verse number 26 and verse number 28, when the Bible said that God created man. And the Bible talks about those six consecutive days of creation, which I personally believe the Bible teaches there were a literal 24 hours in each and every one of those days of creation. After each of those days, in verses 4, 12, and 18, and verse 21, and verse 25, we find these words, that God said it was good after creation of those days. But we find in verse number 31 of Genesis chapter number 1, we find the Bible has a little different take on that. Instead of it just being good after the creation of man, when God is speaking about the totality of his creation, God says these words, it was very good. And then we turn to Genesis 2 and verses 1 through verse number 3. We find that the Bible speaks about the Sabbath, and the Bible says that God rested. You see, the Sabbath was inaugurated by God when he had finished through creative act of all the world. You see, God gave the Sabbath as a covenant. It was between him and the nation of Israel. I'm going to read in Exodus chapter number 31. If you'd like to turn there, go ahead. Exodus 31, verses 12 through verse number 17. The Bible says in Exodus 31, beginning in verse number 12, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep. For it is a sign before me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you," or in other words, set you apart. Look in verse 14. "Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defile it shall surely," get this now, be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, thy soul shall be cut off from amongst his people. Thank God for the day of grace. Amen. Verse 15, 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations. Notice this now, for a perpetual covenant. That means it's an unending covenant given by God to the nation of Israel. It is a sign between me and to the children of Israel forever. For in it 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested, and notice what it says, and was refreshed. So we find that God gave the Sabbath as a covenant. And in the Old Testament, Israel was to work for 6 days and worship on the seventh day, according to verse number 15. But notice this in verse 13, the covenant was only given to the nation of Israel. And today he gives the local New Testament church the first day of the week, not to be a Sabbath, but a day of worship set aside to bring him honor and glory. Somebody said, Pastor Dave, what gives you the right? What gives independent fundamental Baptist the right to change the Lord's day of worship? I want to submit to you that you and I do not have the right to change what day God says for you and I to worship on. You see, the Bible teaches us that God is the Lord of the Sabbath. And listen, if God wants to change the day of worship, if God wants to change the day of Sabbath, it's all right for him to do so because he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Understand this morning that the Sabbath was created for man and not man for the Sabbath. And I propose to you today that God has chosen to change the Old Testament Sabbath that we read about here in Exodus chapter number 20 from our text to the first day of the week that we worship God today. And we'll find that there is a reason for that. And I think there's several reasons why God has chosen to change our day of worship from Saturday, from the Old Testament covenant of Sabbath to the day today. And I think, first of all, it's found in Mark 16 and verse number 9. You don't have to turn there. We're not going to read these verses. But if you want to write this list down, I think it might be a blessing to you. The first reason is because Jesus Christ arose on the first day of the week. Amen. I can't think of any better reason to worship him than on the day that he arose as for our justification and our salvation. After he was arose from the dead, guess what? He appeared unto the disciples. Guess when he appeared unto them? On the, guess what day? First day of the week. 8 days later, he met his disciples in the upper room. Guess when that was? On the first day of the week, according to John 20 and verses 19 and 20. Jesus gave the Great Commission. Guess what day he gave that on? The first day of the week, according to John 20 and verse number 21. He said, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. Jesus ascended back to the Father. Guess what day he ascended back to the Father on? The first day of the week, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse number 11. Guess when the Holy Ghost was given? The Holy Ghost was given at Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2. That word Pentecost means 50. On the 50th day after the resurrection of the Lord, the Lord sent the Holy Ghost as promised. The church was indwelled. The church was baptized with the Holy Spirit of God. The church became the collective body of Jesus Christ on that day. Guess when it was? It was on the first day of the week. The early church met for worship on the first day of the week, according to Acts chapter 20 and verses 6 and 7. We also find out this, that the early church received tithes and offerings. Guess when they did that? Not on the Sabbath, but on the first day of the week, according to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 2. By this time, now we find that the New Testament church has been meeting on a regular basis on the first day of the week, celebrating the resurrection of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? If that was not enough, we have this. The canon of the scriptures was completed. Guess when it was? On the first day of the week. In Revelation 1 and verse number 10, we find John on the island of Patmos, and he says these words as he's writing them down. I was in the Spirit on, can you guess what day? the Lord's Day, or the first day of the week. So we find that we have 10 or 11 great reasons why that we worship the Lord nowadays on the first day of the week, on Sunday, versus the last day of the week, given under the commandment in Exodus chapter number 20. You see, both the Sabbath and the Sundays are commemorative days. The Sabbath was in commemoration for the work of creation. God created the earth. For 6 days he worked and created the earth and man. Then the Bible said he rested, and get this now, and was refreshed. Boy, when I thought about that, God rested and was refreshed. Boy, that just did something to me. And maybe just understand maybe a little bit more about who God was and what God is. And I think about Jesus Christ being fully God and fully man. And no doubt as he came and he worked and he healed the sick and touched the lame and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He called his disciples, cast out demons. No doubt he needed a day to rest. And the Bible said, and God was refreshed. Boy, that's exciting. So we see that the Sabbath was a commemoration of the finished work of creation, but the Lord's Day is a commemoration of the finished work of redemption. You see, the Sabbath reveals the power of God's hand, that he created all the heavens and created all the earth. And the Lord's Day reveals the love of God to us by his love for us. I think of John 3 and verse 16. See, the Sabbath was a commemoration of the beginning of the natural life of all the world. The Lord's Day is the commemoration of the beginning of the supernatural life that we have in Jesus Christ when we get saved and born again. So God gave the Old Testament Sabbath to Israel, and he gave the New Testament Lord's Day as a day of worship to the local New Testament church. So I say to you today that we don't worship God on Saturday like the Seventh-day Adventists do, but we worship God on Sunday, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. You see, under the Old Testament laws, a man had to work for 6 days, and then he rested. But under the age of grace, we rest one day, then we work the other six. That's how good God is. That's how much he loves us. He said, rest first, and then we'll have a work to do. Well, not only do we see the inauguration of the Sabbath, but then I think there's something else this morning. I think it's important for us to understand the explanation of the Sabbath. You see, there's two principles that are really involved in the Sabbath. And we often think about one, but we forget about the other one. We think one principle is what we ought to do, and we forget about the other one. The first one, in Exodus chapter 20, in verse number 9, get this now, if you're writing notes, write this down. It's the principle of work in verse number 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. I'm reminded of 2 Thessalonians, a passage in 2 Thessalonians in chapter number 2, in chapter 3, that we find another great text. 2 Thessalonians 3 in verses 10 through 15, we find these words. The Bible says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, walking not at all, but are busybody. Working not at all, but are busybodies. Now then, they are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Verse 13, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note this man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So we see in Exodus 20, verse number 9, we find this first principle in explaining of the Sabbath, and that it is this principle of work. Let me make this very clear to you today, that I'm not talking about people who are unable to work. That's not what the Bible is talking about. I'm talking about people who are too lazy and too sorry to work. That's who the Apostle Paul was writing about. That's who we find in Exodus chapter number 20, the verses speaking about in verse number 9. People who are just too lazy to work. I can remember a gentleman that I had the privilege to come in contact with in my time in West Virginia, and he was one of these fellows that he was just too lazy to work. He had every kind of excuse not to work, and in fact, his laziness led to slothfulness, and his slothfulness led him to be arrested for shoplifting because he couldn't take care of his family any longer. And my pastor had to go down and bail him out and talk to him and try to get him back to the place and try to get him a job. But listen, it didn't work out. He was just too lazy to work. And we're not speaking today about people who cannot work. We're talking about people who do not want to work. And I believe it's sin for us to keep feeding people who don't want to work. And listen, maybe if they go hungry for a little while, they'll learn that work is important and God commands us to work. He says, rest one day and work 6 days. Thank God that most of us only have to work 5 days a week. And it could be the other way around. It could be we have Sundays off and we have to work Monday through Saturday. But thank God that most of us no longer have to do that. How many might remember the story called The Little Red Hen as you were growing up? Anybody remember that? I have a modern story of The Little Red Hen that I want to read to you this morning. Once upon a time, there was a little red hen who scratched about in the barnyard until she discovered some grains of wheat. She called all her neighbors and said, "If we plant this wheat, then we'll have bread to eat. Who will help me plant it?" "Not I," said the duck. "It's out of my classification," said the cow. "Nor I," said the pig. "Not I," said the goose. Then said I will, the little red hen. Well, the wheat grew tall and it ripened into golden grain. "Who will help me harvest this wheat?" asked the little red hen. "Not I," said the duck. "It's out of my classification," said the cow. "Nor I," said the pig. "Not I," said the goose. "Then I will," said the little red hen. And at last it came time to pick the wheat and make the bread. And she said, "Who will help me make this bread?" asked the little red hen. "That would mean overtime for me," said the cow. "I would lose my benefits," said the pig. "I can't do that. And if I am to be the only helper, that's discrimination," said the goose. "Then I will," said the little red hen. She baked 5 loaves and held them up to the neighbors to see. And of course, they all wanted a loaf of that bread. In fact, they demanded their share. But the little red hen says, "No, I can eat the loaves all by myself." "Excess profits," said the cow. "Capitalistic leech," cried the duck. "I demand equal rights," yelled the goose. They painted unfair picket signs and marched all around the little red hen's house and shouted obscenities at the little red hen. Well, the government agent came to the little red hen's house and said, "You must not be so greedy." "But I earned this bread," said the little redhead. "Exactly," said the agent. This is the wonderful free enterprise system. Anyone in the barnyard can have as much as he wants. But under our modern regulations, productive workers must divide their products with the idle. They continued to live together in the barnyard, including the little red hen, who clucked and smiled. Her neighbors often wondered why the little red hen never baked any bread anymore. The end. You see, this parable is a great truth of our lives in America today. Something is happening in America that's really not fair anymore. One man receives something without working for it, and the other man works for something that he doesn't receive. And we need to get back to the Bible principle of work, working 6 days and resting one day. So we look at this principle of work in verse number 9, and we like to talk about that, but there's a greater principle, greater than work, found in verse number 10 that we often just look over, and that is the principle of worship in verse 10. "But in the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou or thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates." You see, that first day of the week is set aside not for a day of work, but a day of worship to the Lord. You say, well, why do I need to set aside a day for worship? I believe there's three reasons. Number one, to replenish our spirits. You see, God makes man of body, soul, and spirit. And guess what? We just get run down spiritually, just like a car battery oftentimes gets run down. A little William was in the nursery before church today, and he was looking at this little toy, and he said, Daddy, is this broke or the battery's run out? And his dad said, well, I think the batteries are probably run out. Listen, sometimes our spiritual batteries just run out, and we need to get back into the house of God to get our spiritual batteries recharged. Even some of you diehards that are here need to get your batteries recharged faithfully. Well, we need to replenish our spirits, but we come to refresh our souls. You see, on the Lord Day, we need a refreshing of our souls from heaven. And that's why one reason we come, we worship God, God blesses, and our souls are refreshed. We come together for fellowship. We come together for exhortation. We come together for worship. And we need the refreshing to be able to face the world and live a godly life. That's why I can't understand how people can just come on Sunday morning who are able to do so the rest of the week, but choose not to. I can't do it. I can't make it. Come about Monday or Tuesday, my batteries are run out, and I'm looking forward to Wednesday. I need to be filled once again. I need to be exhorted. I need to fellowship with one another. And by that time it starts to wear out, guess what? It's Sunday again. And Sunday morning and Sunday night and Sunday school. We need to refresh our souls. But number third, we need to rest our souls. You know, I'm convinced that if a man will give 10% of what God gives him, and God will make the other 90% go farther than that first 100%. I found that this works in life. And guess what? I found this, that if God will set aside 6 days for work and rest one day, guess what? You'll get more accomplished in those 6 days than you will if you work 7 days straight without stopping. There was a company in Brenham, Georgia. It was a sewing plant several years ago. And they discovered that in their suit division, that if they took one day off a week instead of working 7 days a week, their machines would last longer, their employees would not call out as much, and they find out that they could have higher production on those other 6 days than if they worked 7 days straight forward. So think about this. If machines run better and profits are a little bit higher by resting just one day a week, think about how much longer your body will last if you can rest one day. Understand, God knows what He's talking about. And I believe that everyone who's physically able to ought to work. And I believe if you're able to work and don't work, that I believe the Bible calls it a sin. And God is right when He commanded us to work 6 days a week and rest on one. We ought to take that one day of rest to worship Him and to use it to refresh our souls and replenish our spirits and rest our bodies physically to be able to go out and accomplish what God would have us to do. Well, notice not only the explanation of the Sabbath, but notice thirdly, the desecration of the Sabbath. And I know what you're thinking. You're wondering, well, what can I do on the Lord's Day, Pastor? Am I allowed to mow my grass? Can I wash my car? Can I put a new roof on my house? What can I do? Can I change the starter in my car? Listen, is it okay for me to do that? Just tell me what I can and cannot do. Listen, I'm not going to give you a laundry list of what you can and cannot do, but understand this. For the sake of time, we'll not take time to turn it, but write these references down in Matthew chapter 12 and verses 1 through 8 and in John 7 verses 19 through 24. It's Matthew 12, 1 through 8 and John 7 verses 19 through 24. We find Jesus preaching and teaching on the Sabbath. And basically what He says boils down to this thought. He says, in cases of necessity, it's okay for you to break the ceremonial law. You see, back in those days, we had God's ceremonial law. Then we had the laws that all the Pharisees added on top of things. One time Jesus was going through a wheat field and He was hungry and they were famished and they were weak, and His disciples reached out to grab a few grains off the tall of the wheat and began to eat that. And the Bible says the Pharisees watched them. So they were following them just to see what they could catch them doing wrong. And they began to rebuke them for what they were doing, for eating, they're breaking the Sabbath law. Listen, God never said that if you're starving to death, death, you can't eat something. And we find that the Pharisees were more worried about the ceremonial law, the man-made law, than about someone taking care of themselves. And so this is what I say to you today, is that if you have to take care of something, if there's no other way that it has to be, that you have to do it, and you have liberty to do it by God, then go ahead and do it. But understand this, that it shouldn't be a normal practice. I don't make it a normal practice to mow my grass on Sunday. I have a few hours between church. I can do that. I try to set aside this day as a day of rest to replenish my body, so Monday through Saturday, I can mow the grass and wash the car and do everything else. I try to keep my mind in the right mainframe of worshiping God, preparing myself for the preaching and or listening or hearing or teaching of the Word of God. Understand, I'm not saying simply this, that if you go out there and you see you have a flat tire, you're going to tell your wife, well, get out there Monday morning right before you go to work and change that flat tire. I'm not telling you to do that. If your house is on fire, you're not going to say, well, it's the day we worship the Lord, and so I'm not going to put the fire. Of course you're not. Use common sense. If a baseball flies in your window, you're going to do what you can to preserve what you have. That's not what God is talking about. He's talking about making a regular practice. And we could simply put it this way. Don't desecrate the Lord's day on the altar of profit, or get this, on the altar of pleasure. And too many times that we say, well, I'm not going to work. And that's because you don't work on Sunday, because your company's closed on Sunday. If they offered triple overtime and double vacation to work one day, how many of us would throw our hands up and say, I'll be there? Listen, don't sacrifice your day of rest and worship on the altar of profit or the altar of pleasure. Well, there's one more classification as we think about the Sabbath day, and that's the clarification of the Sabbath. What does all this Sabbath business really mean to you and I? I think Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17 sums it up. It says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days, who are the shadow of the things to come, but is the body of Christ. You see, the Sabbath day was a shadow of things to come. You know, you and I today look back and we have no problem believing the Lamb of the Old Testament was a foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist said, there's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We don't have any problem to believing that to be true. But have you ever thought about the Sabbath as being a foreshadow of Jesus Christ and the spiritual blessings that he has for you and I? Somebody one time asked me this. They said, David, Sergeant Carroll, are you a Baptist? And I said, yes, I am a Baptist. I'm proud to be a Baptist. And they said, well, you Baptists don't observe the Sabbath. And I thought for a moment and I said, oh, no, you're wrong. I do observe the Sabbath. And they said, you do? I said, yes, I do. I said, as a matter of fact, every Christian ought to observe the Sabbath. I think we ought to observe it every day. I think we ought to observe it 7 days a week. I think we ought to observe it 365 days out of the year. And they said, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Saturday as being the Sabbath, the day of worship. I said, oh, that's what you're talking about. I was talking about that we should put our rest in the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ, every day of our life. And that's what I'm talking about. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, the Lord said this, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I said, that's what I'm talking about. Every person that's ever been born physically ought to put their rest and have a Sabbath or a rest in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. See, that word Sabbath means rest. And you can and you will find rest in Jesus Christ, as the Bible calls him, the Lord of the Sabbath. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he invites you to come to him today in rest. He is the Lord of Sabbath. He is the Lord of the rest. He is our Sabbath. He is our rest. You'll find no rest, no peace, no love outside of the rest, peace, and love that Jesus Christ has for you today. Remember the Sabbath day. to keep it holy. We ought to worship him on a regular basis on the first day of the week. Amen. I wonder if you understand that we are to do that, and you practice that, a regular practice in your life, you as a born-again believer, you'll replenish your spirit, you'll refresh your soul, and you'll have rest in your body. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Father, we can look in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, where you commanded the nation of Israel to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. But, oh, Father, I'm so thankful that today that we don't have to celebrate the Sabbath, but yet in the real sense, our Sabbath is every day by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the God of rest. So, Father, I pray now for these people that are here. Oh, Father, some are here and never trusted in Jesus as their Savior. Oh, God, I pray before they leave this building this morning, they come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord of the Sabbath. Oh, Father, they'll not only find spiritual rest, but Father, I can attest that in you we'll find physical rest. We'll find emotional rest. Oh, Father, in you we'll find peace and love and joy that we never ever had before that kept us from enjoying rest. So, Father, I pray you'll save that one that's lost. And then, Father, for the Christians that are here, help them, Father, to understand and be able to explain why we do not any longer go to church on Saturday. That Sabbath was given just for the nation of Israel, Father. But Sunday, the first day of the week, was given for those New Testament believers. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, help us to make a bold stand and be able to clearly explain that to others. Help us to be clarified, Father, on this idea of that our rest now is in the Lord. And then besides that, Lord, that we're not to judge other people in this matter. Father, we love you. We thank you. We seek to see your perfect will be done in the hearts and mind and lives of these people that are here. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Let's stand to our feet, please, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around this morning. I wonder if there would be someone here this morning that would say, Pastor Dave, I never trusted in Christ as my Savior. I'm not saved. I'm not born again. I wonder if you might have a word of prayer for me. If you're here this morning and you're here and you know you're not saved, but you want me to have a word of prayer with you, I wonder if you would simply, with heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, I wonder if you would say right now, by an uplifted hand, Pastor Dave, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not saved. I'm concerned about that fact. Thank you. I see your hand. You may put it down. I wonder if someone else would be honest enough to admit, with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one's looking around, say, Pastor Dave, pray for me. I'm not saved. This one has understood that they're not saved. They're lost. They're on their way to hell, but that Jesus Christ has died for them. You want me to pray for you? All right, thank you. I'll pray for you. Thank you. You may put your hand down. I promised I'd pray for you. Now I'm going to pray for you. Father, I thank you for these ones that have raised their hand and acknowledged their need to be saved. And so, Father, I pray now that you will continue to speak to their heart. Help them, Father, to understand that you're a God who loves them, that sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay our sin debt. Oh, Father, your Son didn't deserve to die on the cross. We did. We deserve death, hell, and the grave. But your love is so great, oh, Father, that you loved us enough to have the perfect God-man die in our place. Oh, Father, would you speak to this one's heart about their need to be saved? Father, for the Christians that are here as well, Father, I pray they'll be more informed in this idea of why we worship on Sunday and not on Saturday. And, Father, it's not about what we do or don't do on Sunday. It's about really our attitude towards you, setting aside this day for a day of rest, a day of worship. So, Father, I pray that you would be a help to your people. Now, with our heads still bowed and our eyes still closed, I wonder if those that have raised their hand this morning said, Pastor, would you pray for me? I wonder if you would just look up at me for just a moment. There's nobody looking. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. It's just me and you. I'm not going to embarrass you.